Hey, quick question. What's the greatest thing you've ever accomplished? Have you ever accomplished a great project? Have you ever run a 5K? Have you ever sought out to save a certain amount of money? And how much effort, how much time, did you put into that? Today, I want to talk about what was the greatest thing God's ever accomplished. My name is Pastor James Bradley, and I pastor First Free Will Baptist Church here in Morehead City. I thank you for joining us as we study the topic of God's greatest accomplishment. We're going to be having an introduction here in a little bit, a 5-minute interlude as we wait for people to get on. Please take this time to pray and to seek God's guidance in the midst of our message. Hope it's a blessing to you and enjoy. Thank you. Once again, this is Pastor James Bradley. I want to say a heartfelt thank you for joining us in our digital services this morning as we are reaching into God's greatest accomplishment, the greatest thing he ever did. And I believe that was done on Calvary's cross. And today I want to take out the text out of John chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 28 and go down to verse 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a set of vessels full of vinegar, and that they filled with a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop, and put it in his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, and said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In today's lessons, we're going to talk about 3 points. The 3 things that were finished there at Calvary. The first being his pain, the second being the price, and the third being his plan. With these things being stated, I would like to help us understand what it took for Jesus to accomplish the very thing that he finished there on Calvary's cross. My very first point is the thing that I like to bring out and to help everybody see, is the very first thing that got finished. And I believe a lot of people, when seeing this, have an emotional connection to Jesus. They see his suffering, they see his pain, and when they hear the words, it is finished, I assume they think the battle is over, the physical pain is gone. And there are 3 kinds of pains that Jesus went through, the very first one being his physical pain. We see that with his scourge that he got right prior to his crucifixion, the cat of nine tails, the crown of thorns, and you see the nails that were pierced in his hands and his feet. You see the agony that was brought upon being on that cross. The span between the beginning of his court date and to the very end was 18 hours. He suffered for the better part of an entire day. He literally suffered so much. And he went through so much. It was more than just physical pain. He also went through an emotional pain. Jesus, many people don't see this because most of the depictions that we have, whether it be on film, pictures, or paintings, or any kind of social media, Jesus is always partially clothed, and there's nothing to suggest that he was. He was naked before his people, that he was ashamed. He was looked on as somebody who was completely shameful. There's one particular reference in scripture that says that he didn't even look like a man. It was an Old Testament prophecy that they would beat him to the point where he looked like a monster. And he wasn't even human form anymore. Jesus had such an emotional connection to people who suffer there. When he was hanging on the cross, he literally went through anything and everything we could have ever gone through at that very moment. His people spat upon him. They mocked him as a fake king. They tested him. They said, hey, if you're really God, why don't you just go ahead and prophesy who hit you, as they hit him with a reed or with a hand. And you see all those emotional things that happened at that very moment. You see his physical pain, you see his emotional pain, and lastly, we see his spiritual pain. One of the greatest things that we can ever learn out of this, the spiritual pain that Jesus placed upon himself. It says that he endured all of our pain. There's a scripture verse that I'd like everyone to see, and it's 1 Peter 2, chapter 24. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live out righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. I wanted to pick out a verse that helped us understand the entirety of what happened there on that cross. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see the words that Jesus bore our sins. He took it for us. So that means the sins that separate us from God, the sins that separated us from righteousness, the sins that separate us from happiness, the sins that really destroyed who we are as a people, Jesus took those from us. He took our greed, and he took our blames, and he took our grief. He took everything that separated us from the life that he originally intended, and he placed it upon himself, which gives even more credence to when Jesus cried out in that suffering moment of his passion. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And what scripture teaches us is that God as being perfect and us being sinful, ridden people, that there's no way to have fellowship when we put sin before God. And Jesus never did that. But at the moment that he crucified and he became the sacrifice, much like the Old Testament sacrifice, when people would place an animal upon the altar, when they prayed that their sins vicariously be put upon that sacrifice. And this is the perfect scenario, the perfect thing that talks about the pain that Jesus felt was all the sins of you and me and every Christian and every believer who has ever walked the face of the earth was placed upon Jesus at the exact moment so that he could bear our sins, all the pain that Jesus went through, his physical, his emotional, the spiritual pain and separation that he felt. He did that for you and for me. He did that moment, and when he cried, "It is finished," he no longer had to feel that pain. He no longer had to feel that separation between God. He was finally going to cross over into life eternal in us physically form. He was God now completed everything that he was going to do. My second point is the price that Jesus paid, that final price that he paid on Calvary's cross. There's a verse I'd like for us to read. It's in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, "In almost all things by the law, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is there no remission." Hebrews 9:22. I want us to understand something. I want to bring a little clarity to my first point, talking about the pain that he felt. That ever since the beginning of time when Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus, our God, at that very moment when he was manifest, walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve hid themselves. From that very first sin, they felt guilt, they felt pain, they felt all those things. And when they walk in, before they even lie to, in the matter of actions, they lied to God, and they hid themselves from him, and they says, "Where are you?" He says, "I hid myself in these bushes because I was naked." He asks, "Who told you were naked?" He never placed upon them that guilt, that shame, that felt with being naked. And one of the most interesting things is that throughout that discourse and throughout all the shame that happened, that God had covered him with skins, meaning that he had to make that sacrifice. Most commentators believe it was at that moment that Jesus started this blood sacrifice. And he showed them that when we sin, that we have to cover that with some kind, there has to be some kind of payment. There has to be a life for the life that was damaged. When you take a piece of paper and you rip it, there is no pointing it back together without something else coming in and part of it. And so what Jesus did was he was that tape that brought that together, that sacrifice that was an understanding of mending what was broken. The very first thing about this price that I wanted to talk about is that for him to be that mend, he had to be perfect. He had to have fulfilled all of prophecy to be that forgiveness that everybody is able to accept. He had to fulfill those prophecies. He had to be the Christ. He had to be perfect. So every temptation that the devil threw at him, he overcame. For every sin that he was tempted with, he overcame. He was perfect. He never had any natural sin, never had any supernatural sin. He was perfect in every way. And because that price was paid, that burden was lifted when he died on Calvary's cross. He no longer had to strive against sin, strive against death, strive against those things. He could live with the fulfillment. His life was finished. Second thing I want to talk about, not only was his life and he fulfilled prophecy, but also that he was that sacrifice in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. He was the price that covered our sins. If you look back with me in Hebrews 9:22, it says, "Almost all things are purged with blood." That was with the exception of those that could not afford a blood sacrifice. God allowed them to give a meal offering unto the priest so that he would be able to have the same atonement as everybody else. And there's a great understanding there, is that Jesus' sacrifice was not only for the rich, and Jesus' sacrifice was only not only to those who could afford it. Jesus' sacrifice was for all people. You just have to have a willingness to participate. You have to have a strive to do the way the things that he implemented them to be. There had to be some sacrifice for that remission. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're accepting the very price that He paid for your sins to be covered. And I find that to be probably the most comforting thing, is that nothing I could do could ever do that. Even in the Old Testament, those sacrifices were things only temporary. They had to be done every year. But with Jesus' sacrifice, it's once and forever. Once you accept Him, He has cleansed it, perfectly cleansed your sins. And He has remedied the separation between God and you. The last thing I want to talk about is this selfless act that He put into. The price, when we say that, we typically think that we get a reward for it. Well, Jesus didn't get a reward for this. His faithfulness, His sacrifice, that pain, that price that He paid for sin, was not for Himself. He bought it to give to us so that we could have that relationship with God again. One of the most beautiful things I have ever heard behind a pulpit since being saved, the definition of being redeemed. They said a little boy was playing with his boat that his father had made him in a pond, and a storm was coming, and in the storm came so fast that the boy wasn't able to get the boat back to shore in time and had to leave. And the next day he's coming to the pond. He saw his boat, but recognized that another boy had had it. Now this boat meant a lot to the child. It had his father's name on it, had his son's memories, all him and his father's memories all around that boat, from making it together to putting it in the ocean for the first time. And the little boy wouldn't let it go. He says, "It's my boat. I found it. It was neglected. It was broken and damaged from the storm. It's mine now." So the father, recognizing that the boy had a lot of understanding, said, "I would like to buy the boat from you." So he bought his own boat back. So he paid the boy's fee, returned the boat, and gave it back to the son. And that is the definition of being redeemed. It means to be bought back. And say, you and I were created to have a relationship with God, but it required a price because sin had swept in and damaged us and broke us. We have pride and we have greed and we have envy and we have lust and we have all of these things and all of these skeletons in our closets, baggage, if you will. And we have all these things and the devil wants to hold on to us, but there had to be a price that was given for us to be given back to God. So God paid that price. He died and He gave His life so that we could be redeemed and bought back to God. It's a beautiful illustration and help us realize that there is a price for our lifestyles, for a price for going away from God, a price for harboring sins, a price for holding on to all the things that would ruin life. And Jesus dying on the cross allows us to give up on those things and seek a life that is better for us. My last point, now that we've talked about the pain that was finished and the price that was paid, I want us to talk about what I believe Jesus' true intentions were when He said, "It is finished." I believe that Jesus stated those words because His plan has finally been finalized. That Jesus' original intention to seek and to save that which is lost had come to fruition. That He had paid all the price for anybody to accept Him as the Savior, as that sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb, so that they could have a reunion back with God again. I believe that those moments were finally set in place when He gave that last breath and He said, "It is finished." There's something that I would like for us to take away from this text, and that is that Jesus did not have to go through what He did. Jesus was perfect, never had any sin, never had any separation of God. What He did on the Calvary's cross did not benefit Him in the slightest. What He did on Calvary's cross is that He paid your price so that you can have that relationship with God again, so that you can have that benefit, so that you can have that relationship and blessings that God has always wanted to give you. But because you've separated yourself from God, because of your sins, because of my sins, we have distanced ourselves from a loving Creator. And Jesus is dying on the cross. And when he says it is finished, what he's saying there is now people can live with life abundant. Now they can have life and they don't have to be slaves to their sins anymore. That plan was finally accomplished. What this tells us more about who Jesus is as a caring, loving individual, more so than anything else, is that he really cares for people. You don't see this for pride. You don't see this for self-glory. What he did for you and he did for me. He did these things so we could have life. Now, that cost death and that cost pain. It's the greatest thing that he's ever accomplished, but sadly, most people will never accept the things that he did. He went through the suffering. He went through the pain. He paid the price. He paid the suffering, painful price to bring people back to God. And people still look at him as a story. People still look at him as a good man and not the Messiah and not the person who paid that price so that we could have freedom, so that we could have life, so that we could experience love the way that it was intended, so that we could experience peace. You know, there is so much to this life, and to squander it on pornography, and to squander it on adultery, and to squander it on greed, and to waste everything that this life has, only to fight every day. Instead of having peace with God, it's just a waste. I don't want us to waste God's plan. I don't want us to just neglect it. I want us to see the suffering that he made and made that urge us and provoke us into living righteously, going back to the verse that we stated earlier in the sermon. In 1 Peter 2, chapter 24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins for our own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, whose stripes ye were healed." You know, Jesus paid so much of a price for us that we shouldn't just take it as a story, but we should apply it to our lives. And not only his death, but his life and the principles that he taught us should become something that we live day in and day out. That his death meant something. We talk a lot about his death in Christian circles, especially here around Easter, because we do not want to overshadow how much he did so that we could have the benefit. This is why I believe that when Jesus said it is finished, his greatest accomplishment was allowing us the opportunity to accept him and mend the relationship that we broke, that he did everything possible and everything that he needed to, so that you and I could have peace and life and love again. I hope that this message was a benefit to you, and I hope more so than anything that in the midst of our quarantine, in the midst of all these hardships, that you find a little bit of hope inside of Christianity's message, that we love Christ. And we love him for a very specific reason, that he paid a price that we could not, that he was perfect. And even in his perfection, he paid the price for our sins. He took a life that was broken, that we broke, and made it whole and gave us life again. We hope that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you recognize what he did was not just for one person, that what he did was for an entirety of a people who would accept him and love him and follow in his ways, and that we would pattern our life and to give grace and to give love just like he did to us there on Calvary's cross and in his teachings. We hope that this was a benefit to you. If you're online watching us, we hope that you will like this video, share this video, and get the message out about what God did for each and every one of us. And he took our lives that were broken and he mended it. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please like and share it and give the good news as we have given it to you. Goodbye.